Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity to hear from heaven. How many of you expect to hear from heaven? You know, that is so critical. What you set your thermostat to makes all the difference. You and I have a choice. We can be thermometers or we can be thermostats. We could speak to, we could change the atmosphere by the power that's been given to us as children of God. You understand that you are made in the likeness and the image of Almighty God, and that has empowered you with creative power in your voice. You know, there are ministering spirits all around. There are ministering spirits in the house right now waiting to hear what you're going to say about the situation, waiting to see what you say, because they are committed to minister to you. Amen. Family is so critical that we know and understand that. We are in part two of our series entitled Experiencing God. Our subtitle for today's message is Life of a Believer. Raise your hand if you're a believer. Let's settle two things right off. God is good, and you are not God. Can we settle that? Is that easy? Is that easy enough? God is good. God is always good. And you and I are not God. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, not of evil, not of evil." God is not thinking about how to get you back for what you did. God doesn't have an evil thought towards you whatsoever. And he goes on to say, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isaiah 55:11 says it like this, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than yours." Can we trust God's thoughts over ours? Raise your hand if you can trust God. Here's the deal. His view is always better than ours. True or not true? Always. He always has the perspective, the true perspective, because you and I don't know what's around the corner, but he always knows. And because we know and understand that he is good, we can always expect good to happen in our lives. Amen. God's plan for your future is great. His thoughts, his ways are more. His provisions are greater. He wants you and I to represent him well. Smile at somebody and say, represent him well. Another way of saying that is to represent him. He wants you and I to represent him well. He wants you and I to show him, to show the world how good he is. Jesus is the express will of the Father. You realize that Jesus is perfect theology? If there is anything that we don't see in the life of Jesus, we have reason to question it. But if it was seen or demonstrated in the life of Jesus, that is perfect theology. Man, that is so powerful. You and I have an opportunity to mimic the life of Jesus and know and understand that what we're doing is of God. Anything you think about, anything that you experience, you can filter it by what you see in Jesus' life.
And family, here's the deal. We should expect what we see in the Word of God functioning in our lives. Because God's no respecter of person. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He is trying to use us to represent Him in the earth. Amen? Last week, I said faith is our response to His faithfulness. You and I must understand that our faith grows every time we experience His faithfulness. Every time we know we receive something from God that we didn't deserve or couldn't earn or couldn't figure out, we grow in our faith. Faith is not striving for something. I said this last week. Faith is surrendering to someone. Faith is yielding to the momentum of His revealed nature. When you and I see His nature revealed, we can yield to the momentum of that and get involved with what He's doing. Sometimes we get it twisted and we begin to do things and we ask God to bless it. What God wants for you and I to do is look and see what He's doing, get involved, because it's already blessed. Am I telling the truth? It's already, what He is doing is going to succeed. Can we agree on that? It's going to, if He's doing, if He's behind it, if He's backing it, I can assure you it's going to succeed. So it makes sense for you and I to see what He's doing in the earth and get involved, because success is going somewhere to happen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. This is what we spent some time teaching on this last week. The statement was, as we behold Him, we become like Him. The proof text to that statement is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. We had a wonderful time in our men's Bible study on Wednesday, and we got into this a little bit. And there are different things that will cause a veil to come over our faces. Unbelief will cause a veil to come over our face. Not thinking we deserve it. We get into a position to where we feel like we're undeserving. That will cause a veil to come over our face, or to look at ourselves and say, how could God use me after what I did, after what I said? The moment we begin to focus on ourselves, it puts a veil over our face. That's not God's desire. It says, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What a powerful statement. You and I can have the love and the life of Jesus shining through us to such a degree that people see Him before they see us. You know, and then I had the nerve to say, Jesus did what He did as a man. And nobody threw nothing at me. It was awesome. I made it through the service. I had the audacity to say that we were sinless. That'd get you kicked out of plenty of places. And here's the thing. This is where that came from. Did the blood of Jesus work or not? Was the blood of Jesus effective in taking away the sins of the world? Was He effective in taking your sins away? Raise your hand if you understand. If you believe, if you're daring enough to believe that Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, took away your sin. That is pivotal in our receiving anything from God. If you and I get stuck in being sin conscious, we will talk our way out of every promise that God has died for. God sent the perfect gift, the perfect sacrifice that was enough. And it's easy to say, oh, I get that. But it's so difficult to let go of self. to let go of what I did or what I didn't do. You know, an amazing revelation is God the Father sees you by way of the blood. Was he disappointed with Jesus? Was he frustrated with Jesus? Was he trying to get Jesus for something? Was he mad at Jesus? He's never going to be mad at you. He sees you as his child. That is a huge revelation that we have to grab hold of. Look at somebody and say, you deserve it. You deserve it. You know why you deserve it? Because you said yes to Jesus. You said yes to Jesus, and you said yes to the benefits of being a part of the kingdom of God. It's such a huge revelation. You know, it's really easy to misunderstand that Jesus came to the earth and did what he did as a man. He was God. He is God. John 1:1-4 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. What Jesus did while on the earth was limit himself to man. He chose to put off deity in order to function in the earth. Critical, family. This could easily be a turning point for us, because as long as we see Jesus doing what he did when he walked the earth as God, it eliminates our ability to do it. We would have to tear John 14:12 out of the Bible. The moment we recognize Jesus taking off deity, coming in the form of a man, sinless, yielded to the Holy Spirit, and only doing what his Father said do, do we appreciate our real purpose. Your purpose is to do greater works. And that's not possible if you and I take the posture, well, I'm just a sinner. I can't do that. That's awesome for Jesus, but I'm a sinner. You know, I grew up in the ghetto. You know, I don't do it there. I don't know how to do stuff right. You know, the moment we begin to look at self, we take all the glory away from Jesus and what he did. That's a revelation that will cause you to lay hands on your neighbor. It's a revelation that will cause you to go out and do something with what you have. Family, we must get to the point that we understand how loved and accepted we really are. God can use you because he sees the blood of Jesus covering you. And when you and I see the blood of Jesus covering us, we stop talking to God about what we did, what we didn't do, how we came up, how we fell short, our faults, our failures. He's not interested in that. No, he's interested in you and I being yielded vessels. You and I choosing to say, Lord, here I am. I am yours to command. Use me as you see fit. When that happens, I promise you, we'll experience God all the time. We'll experience miracles at the end of our hands. We must not allow the enemy to fill our heads with negative doubts. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he desires to use you. He desires to take your vessel and advance the kingdom in the earth. Jesus took on flesh and chose to live within the limits of man. And he's, listen to this, and he's asking you to take on deity and live outside of the limits of man. Amen. That was a great opportunity to amen with somebody. That was a great opportunity to say, what? Did you hear that? What did he say? The purpose for Jesus coming as a man was for you to go into the earth as deity. It's the truth about it. If we can get, all we have to do is get rid of religious thinking. All we have to do is say, I'm not bound by flesh. What Jesus did worked greater, the greater one. Point yourself like this and say, the greater one lives on the inside of me. You know what that means? That means the lesser one lives on the outside of you. You have dominion and authority over the earth. Extremely powerful. Jesus gave us another hint in John 5:19. He said the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Jesus said he can't do nothing of himself. But wait a minute, he's Jesus. He said he can do nothing of himself. Why? Because he had to yield to the Holy Spirit and he had to hear the voice of the Father in order to be effective. You can do that. You can do that. If you've said yes to Jesus, his blood worked on you. If you've said yes to the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and fire, you can go out and do miraculous things. All you have to do is listen to the voice of the Father. All you have to do is pay attention to what he is saying and do that. It's not about what we think. It's not about what we feel. Family, when we choose to obey him, power is released on our behalf. Amen? Jesus set the standard for you and I to be doers, not observers only. Then I went on to say, one of the most significant things, this is from last week, one of the most significant things that I got out of last week was our perception of what the blood of Jesus accomplished is everything. The way we perceive the blood of Jesus applied to us is everything. That's everything. Family, anytime you and I revisit the past, and here's the deal, we all have opportunities to revisit the past. Whenever you and I revisit the past and focus on sin, we begin to participate with a spirit of deception because what Jesus said was that no longer exists. When you and I begin to participate, when you and I begin to focus on, dwell on, and go back, we agree to a spirit of deception. Now, there's a difference between Jesus calling us back for repentance or deeper repentance or letting go, because then we have a certified tour guide. If Jesus is going to guide us back to take care of unfinished business, that's different. But when you and I dwell on what we did, we are partnering with the spirit of deception. Understand, that's not his plan for our lives. We have to settle the question, did the blood of Jesus work for me? Last week, I said obedience is a great qualifier, and I got that from when John baptized Jesus. Initially, John was like, wait, hold, I need your baptism. And Jesus said, just let it happen. And John obeyed, and because John obeyed, power was released. And here's the thing, sometimes when you and I are willing to do what we're not qualified to do, that act qualifies us. We choose to be willing. That qualifies us. Raise your hand if you're willing. If you're online, if you're willing, God will use you. And we'll pick up today's message from that point. Come with me to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. We'll look at verses 13 through 17. You guys all right? I know that's a long review, but it's so important to lay the right foundation. Because we build on this, miracles, signs, and wonders will be normal. And that's what God is after. Children to represent him well. Matthew 3:13 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed it." Verse 16. "When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him." Now, we could miss it when we read that casually. That's not a weather change. That was not just a change in wind. The heavens were open. The heavens were torn open. It's like Matthew, when the veil, the 4 to 6 inch veil, was torn from top to bottom. It was a violent act. It wasn't just a tearing away of the open. It was a tearing away of demonic oppression. It was a tearing away. It was an opening of what was hindering the Spirit of God from operating on the earth. And we see, after Jesus had the Spirit of God come on him, from that moment on, he walked in power. It was from that moment on, he began to do the miraculous. Family, what I'm saying to you is, when you say yes to Jesus and yes to the Holy Spirit, miraculous power is available to you because you live under an open heaven. When the skies were cracked open, the enemy did not close them back. You are still residing under an open heaven. What are you going to do with it? Begin to speak, begin to proclaim, begin to step out as a child of God and do what God has called us to do. It says, "He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Obedience opens the door for the supernatural. John obeyed when Jesus came up out of the water. The heavens were parted. This tearing away of opposition is still available to you and I. This is the initial answer to Isaiah's prayer in Isaiah 64:1. It says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens." That word "rend" means tear. When Jesus died on the cross, rocks were split open. There was a violent tearing away that took place. It was a removal of the power of darkness. That's what we have available to us. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Where are you guys going? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 2. Look at your neighbor. Make sure they're not over in Psalms or somewhere. Help them out. Help them out. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. "And when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" Now, understand, John knew who he was. John knew he was to go and pave the way for Jesus. Now, John has begun to doubt. John had some of his disciples. He was like, "Hey guys, I need you to help me out. You know, find Jesus and ask him this question." And why would John begin to doubt or have the question, are you the one? Well, Isaiah 61:1 talks about Jesus, one of his characteristics or his descriptions was coming to set the captives free. John was in prison. John was in prison, and he was like, hey, guys, I need to know, did I miss it? Did I make a mistake? Did I misunderstand who that was? And here's the deal. At one time, John was certain. There was one time. Let's go to John chapter 1 and verse 29. There was a time when John was certain. He knew that he knew. John chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. Listen to this. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, John made an announcement. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he who I said, after me comes a man who was preferred before me, and he was before me. John proclaimed, he looked up, he saw Jesus coming, and he proclaimed Jesus. Now he is in prison, doubting if it really was Jesus. The circumstances that John was going through was causing him to second guess. What he was going through was louder than his knowledge of who Jesus was. Let me suggest to you that John was trying to finish well. And he wanted to make sure he was doing, he lived his life. This was his life assignment. Go before, prepare the way for the coming one, the sent one, the Messiah. So he was checking himself out. He was concerned. He prepared way for Jesus, and he was in prison. Now, it's very possible in this moment for John to lose courage. True or not true? How many of you ever been through something and you're like, Lord, where are you? Are you here? Did I hear you right? Did I miss it, Lord? Jesus does a tremendous, let's drop down to Matthew 11, 4 through 6. Jesus does a tremendous job responding. Jesus answered and said, go and tell John the things which you hear and see, the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus is saying, this is so huge for all of us. Can I have some water? This is so huge for all of us. Jesus is saying, don't miss what I am doing, focusing on what I'm not doing. Somebody say amen to that. Somebody say amen to that. Have we all done that? Have we all looked and say, Lord, how come this ain't going on? Lord, what's going on with this? Lord, you said if I do this, this is going to happen. Lord, I've been waiting all these years. And the Lord is saying to you, why don't you look at what I am doing? Why don't you see what I am doing in the earth? Would that help us if we were focusing on, have you ever heard, if you're going through something yourself, give to somebody else, pay attention, go serve somebody else. Have you ever heard that? Who's heard that? Am I the only one that heard? Does that work? Every time. Every time. Now, it didn't feel good. When John didn't want to hear that. And you know the thing that's so interesting about this? Jesus didn't even say all the good things he said about John while his disciples were present. Jesus, he didn't even answer them. He didn't even say, yo, yeah, it's me. He didn't even answer them. He said, go tell John what you see and what you hear. If you and I want to live in courage, turn your attention to what God is doing. If we're not mindful, we could miss the power statement at the very end of this. Look at verse 6. Blessed. You guys, let's read that together. Let's put that back on the screen. Ready? Read. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. John had a wonderful opportunity to be offended. True or not true? He could have been like, yeah, wait a minute. You know, I prepared to wait for him. How could Jesus ain't even visited me? How come he didn't visit me? I live my life serving him. I live my life preparing a way for him. And he didn't even come and visit me. I know he can let me out. He healing people out there with these bars. He can get me out of here. He had a wonderful opportunity, true or not true, to be offended. Could John have been offended that Jesus didn't let him out? That's a real question. Absolutely. He had an awesome opportunity to be offended. If we focus on what did not happen, offense always comes. If you and I get stuck in what didn't happen, how many of you ever prayed for something and didn't happen? Isn't it an awesome opportunity to be offended? If we get stuck and are offended because of what did not happen, we miss out on the last part of that scripture, which said, blessed is he. You know what that's like? Light be. Blessed is Joe. Blessed is Max. When you and I take on offense because what's not happening, we prevent the blessing from functioning in our lives. That's a good word right there, though. I'm just saying that is truth, that is insight. If we take it, family, think about it. How many of you have been offended? We don't even have enough hands. We don't have enough limbs. Every time we've been offended, we've turned our back on the blessing. Every time. And I don't know anybody who hasn't been offended. This is a great lesson for you and I to grab hold of. This is a way that you and I can live encouraged. Unbelief is the ultimate sin. The reason why offense comes is it comes to get you and I into unbelief. That's the enemy's game plan. If he can get you and I wrapped up in the ultimate sin, which is unbelief. And here's the thing, family. Unbelief is not just the absence of expectation. Unbelief is an agreement with the enemy. Unbelief is partnering with the same spirit that is warring against our Lord and Savior. Offense will always try to take us to unbelief. It's not just the absence of faith, it's partnering with the demonic forces that are warring against the kingdom of God. And none of us would do that openly, willingly. None of us would do, because when you're caught up in the offense, you respond and you open yourself up for unbelief. I don't believe God does it anymore. I don't believe God does miracles anymore. And I don't believe God heals anymore. And I don't believe God restores anymore. And I didn't see it in my life. I prayed for my brother. He didn't get saved. He didn't get healed. I prayed for so-and-so. I prayed for sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, and they died. And I open myself up to being offended, the opposite of blessed, and I partner with a demonic force that's trying to take me and my family out. Matthew 11:11 says, "Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist." What? Of all the patriots, of all the the great works, the hall of faith is loaded with great works. And Jesus is saying John the Baptist was greater. He said, has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Jesus is declaring John the greatest of all in the Old Testament. And then he goes on and says this about us. Dear God, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You are endued with great power. All of heaven is looking to see what you're going to do with what's been given to you. You know, it's easy to admire John. It's easier to admire Abraham. And it's easier to admire those listed in the hall of faith and look in the mirror and say, poor me. Man, I just can't get it together. I mean, I am struggling with this. I am struggling with that. And here Jesus is saying, you're greater than all of them. Those who we pull from, those who we read about and get encouraged and inspired. Jesus is saying, you are greater than all of them. You see, identity theft is running rapid in the body of Christ. So many of God's children have had their identity stolen by shortcomings, failures, trials, and tribulations. And they've given in to, I must not be enough. I'm here to declare that you are God's chosen. You are God's called. You are God's approved. God desires to use you. All those heroes of faith. Family. The only thing different, this is what makes us so great. The only thing different is we have access to the Holy Spirit. That's what makes you so great. You have access to the Holy Spirit. Listen, I need four people to come up here, please. Listen, family, we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have somebody stand here, somebody stand here, somebody stand here, and somebody stand over here. I need four. Now, this is a little glimpse of the timeline of the children of God. So it all started when God got involved with what was going on in Egypt. The being delivered from Egypt. Sorry, Sylvia, it's going to be Egypt right now. Egypt represents sin. So God came and got his people out of Egypt and moved them to this body of water called the Red Sea. And the Red Sea represents the baptism of Moses. That was the first body of water that God's people had to overcome. It went from the Red Sea, and then it went over to the Jordan, which in John 7 is called the River of God. Now, at the Jordan, it wasn't like the Red Sea. At the Jordan, it was a river that was flowing, but they still had to cross the river in order to get over to the promised land. Now, as good, most of us are good with getting out of the world, getting out of Egypt, getting out of sin, getting baptized in the name of Jesus and becoming a part of the kingdom of God, and we get to the river Jordan, and we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we begin praying in tongues and understanding tongues, and as much as I love praying in tongues, it's not for the sake of praying in tongues, it's for conquest, it's for grabbing hold of, it's for the purpose of getting through the river Jordan and walking into the promised land. And so many of us are comfortable staying at the banks of the Jordan, praying in tongue, enjoying that, but not grabbing hold of the promised land. Family, is not enough to stay here. What God has called us to is to walk in maximum potential, to walk in the life that he promised for you and I to live. The supernatural should be normal for every believer. It should be normal. That doesn't happen if we don't pass through and begin to grab hold of, thank you guys, grab hold of what God has promised. Look at somebody and say, only the promised land will do in my life. Only what's promised, only what, because nothing else is the life of a believer. Life in the land of promises is normal. Grabbing hold of all that God has for us is normal. Getting through the second baptism is what it's all about. You've been called into the land of promises, miracles, signs, and wonders. As much as the process is powerful to watch, it's time to see God's children grab hold of all that is available. If you desire to walk out, to live out your maximum potential, this is how it's done. Revelation is often found in the tension of two realities. If you ever find yourself thinking, how could this be? I see it, but how could this, like, how could I be sinless? How could I put on the mind of Christ and cast down thoughts at the same time? How can I be fighting symptoms and be healed by his stripes? Whenever you and I find ourselves between the tension of two realities, revelation is lurking. Don't allow frustration to cause you to draw back. Do not get weary in well-doing, because once the light is on, you'll never go back. It doesn't matter how great the darkness, all it takes is a little candle, and darkness has to flee. It has to flee. Family, whatever you do, keep pressing forward. And welcome that tension. Lord, I don't know what this is, but I'm going with you. I don't know. I don't get it, but I'm trusting you. I'm putting Proverbs 3:5 to the test. I'm in all my ways, I'm trusting you. I don't care if I understand. I'm not gonna lean on Freddie's understanding of this. I'm gonna keep moving forward. I'm gonna keep trusting you in everything that I do. I'm gonna keep acknowledging you in everything that I do. This is so powerful. There are two ways that we receive in the kingdom of God. I got one more scripture. Let's go to Mark chapter 4, 35 through 41. You guys getting anything out of this? Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. We're talking about life of the believer. There are two ways that we receive from God. There are two things that are asked of us. It's either taking by force or resting in him. Mark 4:35 says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. What did Jesus say? Let us cross over to the other side. Now, that is known as the revealed word of God. Jesus spoke that. That is the revealed word of God. He said, let us go to the other side. Jesus released that out of his mouth. That was the revealed word of God. Now, sometimes, I'll go ahead and read the scripture. Let's cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat, and as he was, and other little boats were also with them, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat, so that when it was already filling, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then we ask some stupid questions sometimes. And the Savior of the world, they're asking him if he cares that they're perishing. Verse 39, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. I'm going to make a quick note. He didn't talk about the sea whatsoever. He spoke the desired results. What a great hint for you and I. Don't talk about what's going on. Don't spend time stirring up the negative. Speak the desired result. He said, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, get this. Sometimes God wants to do something through you, not for you. Sometimes God is calling you and I to do it. There are two ways we function in the kingdom. We rest as a child, or we take our authority and go into operation. The Father is looking for an accurate representation of his Son displayed in the life of his children. All progress in the spirit realm happens this way. Two different ways: taking by force, resting as a child. The fight of faith reveals our authority as soldiers of the Most High. We are brokers of the will of God here on earth. Disciplined ones living for the purpose of another in order to accomplish his will. Raise your hand if you've ever been in the military. You're in the military, you are submitted to the country's will. You were a soldier fighting for another's cause. Resting as a child, I said taking by force or resting as a child. Sometimes God wants to minister us as children, not soldiers. The authority, one is, so taking by force is our authority. Resting as a child is our inheritance. That is so vital. And how do we know the difference? Listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, if you are pushing, fighting, scratching, if you find yourself white knuckling every event and nothing's happening, I submit to you, it may be time to rest as his child. And if you are resting as his child and you're getting frustrated and impatient because nothing's going on, maybe you need to take action. Maybe you need to speak to the storm. Maybe you need to speak to what's going on in your child's life, your marriage. Maybe you need to speak to the opposition that's coming against you at work. The Holy Spirit knows. Application. Let's wrap this up. You guys have your notes. How do we experience God? Application number one says what? Walk by faith, not by sight. Sight changes all the time. Facts are subject to change. Number two says what? Be of good courage. Choose. Be of good courage. Choose. You choose to be of good courage. Psalm 31:24 says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen. That he is God. He shall strengthen your heart. Then it goes on to say, all you who hope in the Lord. That word all includes everyone and excludes no one. The promise is keep your hope in the Lord and strength will come every single time. Amen. Number three says what? Give yourself to true worship. Family, this is how we behold him. We see glimpses of Jesus, and the more we behold him, the more we become like him. Amen. Number four says what? Bring it. It resides in you. You show up in your authority. You allow the kingdom to come because of your voice, your actions, your obedience. Number five says what? Listen, family, if Jesus can do anything of himself, can we? Jesus, the Son of God, could do nothing of himself. Does it make sense for us to try to do it on our own? Let me help you. Number six. Let the Lord direct my path. And number seven. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. So vitally important. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.